Hey everyone, welcome to 3G1 Up. I'm Keith, sitting here with David and Spencer. What's up, my boys?
I always get mentioned second.
Yeah, I don't like you as much.
I guess. Which makes no sense. Like, you've met both of us.
Three gringos, one up.
Nice.
I'm not saying I like David. I'm just saying I like him more than you.
I don't understand how anybody could meet us both and come to that conclusion.
Not even David likes David.
All right, so let's talk about some video games and shit then. That's what we do on this show.
Sometimes
that's the goal, at least.
Sometimes, yeah. So, what you been gaming on? Anything new? I know Kaldheim just came out, so I'm sure you've been playing a fair amount of Magic.
Yep, a lot of Magic.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the quick draft to go live though.
Saving your gold.
Yep. It's twice as much to do a premiere draft.
That's a lot.
Twice as much gold just to draft with other humans. I'll take the bots for half price.
Yeah. Fuck humans.
And I finally got around to putting in Cobra Kai. The Karate Kid Adventure continues.
I'm excited to hear about that. Tell us about that, what you've been thinking.
Man, it is a blast. It's exactly what I'm looking for in a video game right now. It's good. Stupid. It's fun. It's just a basic beat 'em up that doesn't require too much investment. Like, you know, it's got levels. Like, games from my fucking childhood had levels, and now everything has no levels. I don't know.
Are there, like, good side-scroller 80s cutscenes and shit like that?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Like, It's silly. It's a really silly game.
Is it like a PG, or is he calling you a pussy the whole time and stuff like that?
I mean, there's some. It's not quite that bad. But yeah. I would say, you know, fuck, I don't even know. What's it rated? Let me look it up.
Because I would think it would be fucking hilarious if you just have Sensei calling you a pussy every time you get hit.
I don't recall being called a pussy, but it is, let's see. It's rated T for teen.
All right. They can say pussy at team games.
Can you?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Is that bad of a word?
Nice. Twee.
T for tween.
Rated twee. But man, it's a fun game. I'm having a blast with it. It's exactly what I expected in a $30 game. You know, it's not very long. It's like I said, it's not too in-depth. It's got a fun little skill tree that doesn't, you know, require 100 hours of investment, and it's just fun.
That's cool, man. I think it just came to PC too. I'm going to have to look that up and see if I can get it, because that would be a fun little game to just dink around on for 15 minutes at a time.
It's a 9 out of 10 on Steam and a 4.3 out of 5 on GameStop.
Fuck, man. There's been some really good side-scroller beat-em-ups coming out lately. I know Scott Pilgrim is getting really good reviews. I guess it's a lot harder than you would think it to be, but it's got some of that side scroller beat 'em up syndrome where it's a little too complicated, I think.
Yeah.
But it is a damn good game from the looks of it. It's just really hard. I guess people are having a tough time playing it. It's not like Cuphead or anything either. It's just kind of annoyingly hard.
That's a remake or a remaster, right?
Yeah, I think so.
2010.
Yeah, it was a remaster or reboot. They redid something, but I was watching some stream of it. It looks pretty dang good. But that's cool. I'm glad Cobra Kai is fun. What about you, David? What you been gaming on?
I know you encouraged us both to try something a little bit different from TFT and Magic and what we've been playing, but I did not do that. Just playing Cyberpunk. Making a lot of progress in that. I played Magic Drafts too. I'm having a hard time drafting this one because I don't know. I haven't looked at any of the meta, so I'm not familiar with what's kicking ass nice. Right now. I did all right with green white.
I mean, my first a new Magic set so and a new TFT patch counts as new games to
stick
me.
Stick with boring and reliable.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith.
The talk about them. Like, you can't just be like, well, I played TFT and Magic. Like, actually,
I think
say something about the new stuff. What's happening?
I don't know. I don't watch as many streams as you guys do, so I don't know what
your internet connection is fudging up again. I believe.
Or maybe he was just that excited, and it got all. He was talking all squished together.
Yeah, no, that's how I talk.
That's better.
I think we're back.
How are we? So okay, I mean, I've been kicking ass with some warlords, but only if you nail that like 9 out of 9, which is very hard to do. Going from 8 to 9 is a big.
You gotta get lucky with that spatula, man. Game.
We're over, but we're swapped Cops. Over to Teamfight Tactics now so from Magic. Just so we know, that's what we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, Teamfight Tactics. That's what I played today. So we'll go with that, and then we'll go back to Magic.
At running an organized podcast.
Professionals. Spencer, what comps have you taken all the way to first?
Ooh.
Because I know I already talked to Keith about this, and he doesn't care about
it. I know he played with us for a little while, and then that was it. Let's see. Duelists. I tried to put Duelist Siphoners together, and it's tough, but if you can get it right, it'll work. Turning the level 5 siphoner into a duelist with a spatula is gross.
I've made that the divine executioner that angel chick. I don't even know her name off the top of my head. Kale. I made her a duelist a couple of times just because it's that one's really fun.
You just got to put the right items on Kale
when you turn her
on.
Yeah. If you get like the Ragefire cannon, give her that range. Make sure she's just in a good corner to pop off. She does some shit.
Hell yeah. That wave damage is disgusting. It's
really good.
some attack speed and then that rage fire and then, I don't know, a GA or something to protect her.
It feels like they've gotten much more generous with items all around, but especially like spatulas and stuff like that.
It seems like no matter what comp I run, I'm going to get the opposite items almost every time.
And that's like the hardest part. Oh, you're running
duelists? Well, here's some fucking belts and chest plates.
That's the hardest part about that game, in my opinion, is playing the comp that it's giving you, but also knowing the items it's giving you, because it's a lot more beneficial for you to play your items than it is to play your comp. It's probably better at, I'm gonna say probably because it is an RNG game, but it's probably better for you to jank together a team with your items than forcing like a warlord's comp or something like that,
and then getting the right items.
Getting those synergies is important, but stacking the right items on the right characters is a lot more important, I think, in TFT especially. You know, I've played some of these other auto chess and auto battlers, and TFT is pretty unique in that way where they do lean on the items, and I think it adds another element to the game that, again, it's another RNG level that you're battling against, and that makes it really tough. And you'll see that in the higher tier play is they synergize items and then force comps around that.
Very cool.
You know, like way more like when to pivot and stuff. And that's just like sometimes that's just beyond me. I'm tunnel visioning on this. It's like, ooh, I got this early. And then by mid game, it's not working and I'm still trying to force it and I'm not pivoting.
I don't know how to pivot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm awful at pivoting. Dylan said something to me the other day about, when you switch over in the late game, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And that's like a really big part of like the higher tier play. And that's part of playing your items. And especially in this set, that's part of playing. I've read that they were going to start doing chosen ones. If you don't have a chosen one, you should get a random chosen one in every store. I think that's in an upcoming patch, or there's a rumor that that's going to come up in an upcoming patch. It's in PBE right now.
Like so after I think, a certain level, like it, you just, there's all so, of the chosen available.
So yeah, once you get past a certain, what are they called?
Stage.
Stage, yeah. If you sell off your chosen one, yeah, you'll get a random chosen one in the store every time.
I see.
So you can replace that chosen one quickly. It's obviously RNG on top of that, but you can get your high tier chosen one rather than trying to stick with trying to get your tier 3 vein or whatever late game, because it's just not working. So
I feel like the odds of getting a chosen one that you're after are not too terrible as it is right now. There's been plenty of times where I've waited till level 4, 5, 6 before I'm picking up a chosen one.
Well, I'm not saying wait, I'm saying pivot. And that's a big part. Having an early chosen one gets you some really good early wins and gets you that early momentum, and being able to pivot away from that and then grab another chosen one for your late game is pretty essential. And
yeah,
it can really bone you if you're sitting there trying to roll down and not seeing any chosen ones to put into your late game comp.
Yeah, I agree. The only, like I said, I'm not good at pivoting. The only thing I've actually gotten decent at pivoting away from is Fortune.
And that's because you're supposed to. That's like the
don't one. Don't make the mistake of trying to ride Fortune all the way to first place, because you're not gonna.
And it's happened. Like, I've seen the memes like being posted.
I've done that.
Like winning with Fortune 6 a lot, but
I love going chosen Fortune.
It's a meme comp. It is. It's a meme comp for sure. And you're not guaranteed to do well. You got to get the right items on the right guys and get those 3 stars. If you get your Tahm Kench 3-starred and then a couple other 3 stars early behind him, it can ride you to the end. But most of the time, it's going to fizzle out.
Yeah,
Sunfire Cape on Tahm Kench every time. Even 2-star, he's so big and beefy that with that Sunfire Cape on him, he can deal damage.
Like a Warmogs on top of that too, so he just eats up everything.
He is a literal tank. He's just so nasty and beefy.
I've loved what they've done with the tanks in TFT. Tanks and bruisers are some of my favorite classes to play in League. So it's really great to see them doing stuff in TFT as well. They have such a great role to play. And just as your nukers and DPS and stuff like that. But I love just stacking up. You know, in these early portions of the seasons and mid-seasons where people are just, like, throwing their full vanguards out there and it's actually doing stuff, I love seeing shit like that. Yeah. Meme comps are fun.
Well, they made vanguards and brawlers better. Like, especially if you go deep with them. Like, it's not just vanguard armor, brawler, hit points. It's... like brawlers do, what is it, David? I think it's attack power and health. And vanguards are magic resist and armor now.
Oh, I have.
That's cool. Because brawlers were already pretty fucking nasty, but they had to step them up with some of their warlord changes and stuff like that, even to keep up with that. I don't know. It's still early. I might get into it after they balance things out a bit more. These early comps, it's always fighting for the best one, or you're just scrounging for some jank.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a scrap to get warlords first, or it's going to be what can I jank together? And I think in another week or two, it'll balance out a bit more.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of pivoting.
Yeah, let's get into some magic. I knew we were going to talk about some call time. Like, there's no way we're going to skip over that, because it's a pretty big set, and I know you guys are really excited for it. So let's get into it. What have you been drafting? What's been successful? What's been not successful?
Oh yeah.
What do you guys like about it? What's your? I'll start this like first question, hard question to both of you is, what's your favorite card so far that you didn't think you were going to like when you were seeing like teasers and stuff like that?
Oh, man. Okay.
Egon. The God of Death, Egon. 6/6 Death Touch for 3. And there is so much self-mill in this set that you can drop him immediately and just wreck shit with him. I took a bug self-mill. I wish there was more recursion. Maybe there is, and I just didn't get it in that. I think that I drafted that that game. But anyway, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more recursion. I got some, but that Egon just, he's so big and beefy.
What did you say? 6/6 for 3 with Death Touch? It's gross.
Yeah, that's real good.
Beginning of your upkeep, exile 2 cards if you can't sacrifice Egon and draw a card.
Yeah. I never cast the other side of him, the chair. I can see why you might want to, because I was running 2 of them in that deck, but I never got.
I really enjoyed the other Black God, or one of the other ones, Turgrid, I think, God of Fright. The back side of it is Turgrid Lantern. It's 3 and a black for a legendary artifact. Tap it, target player loses 3 life unless they sacrifice a non-land permanent or discard a card, and you can untap it for 3 and a black. That one won me multiple sealed games.
That sounds like some fun jank.
Yeah, it was stupid. It's just over and over. Like at one point I had like 8 mana on the battlefield. I was doing it 3 times a turn.
That's cool, man. I love that. I love cards like that. That's cool.
Yeah, just like go white black or something, like dirtle up and
so what's been the most nasty success from you guys in your drafts, and then follow that up with what is getting destroyed mostly in your hands?
I think so. Okay, I played until I kind of ran out of currencies, but I think my most successful deck in both the draft and sealed games that I was playing was a white green +1/+1 counters deck. Just like super kind of boring, actually. Not really anything in there that was like lighting the world on fire. That one took me the furthest.
Multiple or 2 different sealed games where I built a white black deck around what I had, and it did really well. Like Angels and Clerics in white and black, it was really good.
Yeah, there were a couple drafts there that I was looking at Angels and Clerics, because white black is my favorite color combo to go.
Yeah,
but I just didn't have everything to make it work. But yeah, that's a pretty strong.
And the giant archetype blue red makes for a really fun standard deck.
Yeah, I know. You guys were saying red was looking pretty strong in some of the teasers. Is it living up to its power in what you were seeing early on? Or is it just kind of falling flat?
So,
sorry. Playing the guitar over there.
Shit. I like grabbed it to try and still it, and as soon as I let it go, that's like more. It's like another twang on it, you know. I have to slowly. Okay. A coworker was telling me about a new standard, like turn 2 win involving this red counter spell. Have you seen that, Spencer?
I haven't seen the deck. I know the card you're talking about, Tybalt's Trickery. Counter target spell, choose 1, 2, or 3 at random. Its controller mills that many cards, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card with a different name than that spell. They may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then they put the exiled card on the bottom of their library.
Yeah, you do it to yourself. He was supposed to send me the article because I haven't seen the deck. He was telling me about it, an article that he read. I think it's a teamer color. It's a blue, red, maybe green. I'll verify that. And it runs that counter spell plus the green blue serpent.
I know what you're talking about. Let me find it.
Cosmos serpent. And it's supposed to do gross things, but I'm having trouble finding this damn deck.
Let me see if I can find the card you're talking about. Here. Coma Cosmos Serpent. 3 colorless, 2 green, 2 blue for a 6/6 creature that cannot be countered. At the beginning of each upkeep, create a 3/3 blue serpent token named Coma's Coil. Sacrifice another serpent, choose 1, tap target permanent. Its activated abilities can't be activated this turn, or Coma gains indestructible until end of turn. Huh. I don't understand how that's a turn 2 win, but getting it out turn two or three is very nice.
I would do some more furious searching on trying to look up this deck, but every time I move, this thing twangs. So
now you're just dropping shit. I don't even know what's going on over there. Your camera's all frozen too. It's just like you peeking over your pop filter. All weird.
That was one of the damn dogs not knowing how to jump over the den partition. Special needs dog.
All right, so is that it on magic? You guys got more magic? More magic? Less magic?
That's all. I will say the new foretell mechanic is fantastic.
Yeah, you liking it?
It is.
I really like it.
Really good. It's being fantastic. Able to use mana that you otherwise would not have been able to is just really good resource management.
Yeah. It's fantastic mana sinking, like Spencer was saying.
It looked like a really cool one. Like,
it allows you to set up
It looked like it would splash well in pretty much anything you wanted to run, too. Like, it looks pretty universal. You're not having to corner that in as, like, your only mechanic in your deck. And I really like mechanics like that.
Well, it enables a more... calling this a mechanic, there's plenty of cards reaching back in Magic history that's like, when you cast your second spell of the turn, do something. And Foretell enables that. It makes it so much easier. You know, so whatever you might call that mechanic, that ability, it just it meshes well with a lot of cards going back through Magic.
Yeah, with the way the stack works in Magic, this is a really great new mechanic they put in there to be used in a different way in that stack, and I think that was really smart of them. All right, well that's it
for magic moment.
That was the magic moment with David. I'm not doing the noises anymore until I can figure
that song every time.
You have to.
I have to.
That's part of the magic moment.
Is that the right one? I don't even know.
I barely heard it. It was really quiet. Okay. That
time. Yeah, I don't know. It's going through Discord and it cuts it because it thinks it's coming from my microphone. So it's those loud peaky noises. So it thinks I'm screaming these noises into my microphone. So it like mutes the high parts.
We're fighting our technology.
Like fist fighting it.
Literally fighting.
Okay, well, last week we talked about GameStop, GME, a little bit of AMC. This week I wanted to touch a bit more on that, but we did talk about some video games. Now it's the shit part. So if you're not in for the shit, we're done with the video. So I wanted to kind of hear from you guys. It's been a week since we talked about this, about what your thoughts are on the whole GameStop situation as you've seen it progress over this past week, because it's been quite a ride. Wall Street Bets has been a fucking ride. The hype has been really wild. The media's been really wild. Robinhood's been fucking up. Other companies overseas have been fucking up. So I just kind of want to hear from you guys individually as to like what you see going on with all this, because it's a crazy fucking story, man. It's one of a kind, even though similar things like this have been done in the market in the past. This story is pretty one of a kind. So what do you make of it? Well, I'll start with you, Spencer.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. What else can be said about this? You know, it's been such a crazy, like you said, it's a crazy story. Like everybody seems to be glued to this story, even if you don't own any of GameStop stock or AMC or, you know, any of these other short squeeze stocks. There's so much conflicting information out there. Like some people are saying that, oh, you know, the hedge funds have all sold off enough and, you know, their short position is now 50% or 40% or whatever. And then other people are saying, no, the short position is still over 100%. And, you know, there's so much conflicting information that I honestly have no idea what's going to happen. It is entirely possible that squeeze happened last week when it hit 380, 420 bucks.
100%. I agree with you. But it's also very possible that there's tendies at the end of this tunnel.
That is true. That is, it's possible. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's hard to, I mean, looking at the stock price now, it's under 90, it's 88 again. And yeah. I mean, that's the lowest it's been in
weeks. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
today was actually a really crazy day, but yeah, continue with what you're going to say.
Well, I mean, if there's a reason for that price being, there's, like Spencer was saying, there's so much, there's an active disinformation campaign out there. There's the silver herring, as you know, I'm trying to get it called. what else was there? There was this lie about them selling off their options. I don't fully understand all the shit that is going on.
And to touch on the same subject that you're talking about, a lot of what you're bringing up isn't just like Wall Street Bets having, because they've gone from 600,000 followers to today they just hit 8.7 million followers in Wall Street Bets, the subreddit.
Yeah.
How many of those are bots?
How many are shills and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a massive amount of people that are now throwing in a ton of misinformation in the subreddit. But the silver herring and some of this information about the shorts already being sold out are being pushed by major media, CNBC, no. CNN, Fox News, Market Watch.
Fucking Jim Cramer.
Jim
makes
Cramer.
Me start to feel like a MAGAtard when we start talking about the mainstream media and spreading the lies. And it's like,
I agree with you. It's like, I don't want to be that guy.
No. But
they were right all along?
No. And like, don't get me
I've
wrong.
I've never had like major love for the mainstream media. CNN can eat my dick just as much as Fox News. You're giving a look.
Just as much. Maybe slightly less.
I don't know. If they're going to gobble on my balls, I'm going to let them do
like,
it.
Oh, both sides. Both sides are the same. Like, no. One side is demonstrably worse than the other.
I'm not saying like politically both sides. I'm saying the platforms themselves of CNN and Fox News are fucking terrible. But past that, even some smaller news sources, smaller media are putting some pretty bold statements out there on this subject, taking the back of the SEC and these hedge funds and, you know, the SEC is coming in and they just announced they're going to investigate Wall Street Bets for fraud, for trader fraud and insider trading information. But they're not going to investigate these hedge funds. It's just like so ass backwards to me. You're going to come in here and read through a bunch of memes about tendies and rocket ships and apes and bullshit.
That's what I was just going to say. And investigating Wall Street Bets is literally going to be these dumb shits pouring over fucking weeks old comments made by sweaty nerds in their fucking underwear. You know, this is a waste of fucking time. The SEC is a joke in this instance. I cannot imagine a worse instance of them fucking attacking the little guy. It's just ridiculous.
Apparently they're going to have deep fucking value is going to be testifying before Congress.
I saw that with Vlad from Robinhood, and I'll touch a little bit on the Robinhood because we don't have too much time, but I do want to say fuck Robinhood for some of the shit that they've been pulling, and I think Webull actually was doing some eliminating and stuff like that. Robinhood was the big one because they were the most accessible. I'm going through a transfer over to Fidelity with most of my positions, but you know, I liked Robinhood. I still do. The interface is great. I'm getting on Fidelity now, and it's this posh, high-class restaurant version of what but I liked the neon lights and nipple tassels of Robinhood. Like, they're telling me it's not a casino, but they give me an app that's all graphs and flashing lights and pretty colors. And like, I like watching that. I don't like watching my Fidelity app. It's boring as fuck. But I can sit there and just stare at Robinhood all day.
You don't get confetti when you buy new shares.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Give me my confetti.
Give me my gamification. Fuck that.
Like I said, man, I lost a lot of money because I bought AMC at the wrong time. So I sold everything else, and now I'm in Dogecoin.
Yeah, I'm with you. And just to get this out there, I'm a stupid fucking idiot that doesn't know shit about finance, so don't listen to me. Yeah,
don't take financial advice from this podcast.
I'm a stupid fucking idiot sitting with two other dumbasses that don't know shit. So
I bought almost 11,000 meme coins, so that should tell you something.
I'm
staring at the Doge graph as we speak.
So am I. Oh, 3.9 cents a coin?
Not only am I not responsible for any losses you may endure by taking our advice, if you come and complain to me about it, I will actively laugh at your stupid ass.
I mean, I just said I lost a lot of money. So anybody that listens to any of us is probably not a smart person.
Yeah. You know what? I will say I have some GME, I have some AMC, and I'm holding because I ain't no paper-handed bitch. And I like the stock, so that's another reason why I bought into Doge. I actually do believe in Dogecoin, as funny as that sounds. I believe in it, and this is not financial advice. This is just a stupid fucking monkey talking about Doges.
Ape together strong.
So yeah, I think that's enough memeing on the stock. Maybe we'll talk about it again next week because it is a big fucking story.
We'll,
I know.
We'll update everybody about how much money we lost in the upcoming week.
This is gonna. We'll have just as much loss porn as Wall Street Bets coming up. But yeah, like don't listen to us on financial advice. We're talking about it because I mean, obviously we're invested in it. I think it's a big story. I think it's a big deal, not just in the finance world, but in the tech world as well. And that's kind of why we thought we should showcase it on this show a bit. You know, we talk about mostly video games, but this is a big story that needs to get out there. So, yeah. Pay attention, learn something. You know what I've taken away from a lot of this is maybe I have lost a bit of money, but I've learned so much about cryptos and stock and options and margins and just everything because this story piqued my interest that I dove into it that much. And I feel like I have a great base under me for my future investments. So, I mean, get into it even for just that. Like, it's a learning experience. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I didn't, like, win big with my GME stocks, but I earned a little bit of money with them, and it was enough to buy shares in another company that is far more stable and is a much, like, safer investment, you know? So, nice. And that's, I consider that an absolute win, so...
There you go.
Yeah, this is a great learning experience. But that being said, Diamond Hands, Ape Strong, Rocket Ship, Rocket Ship, all that jazz. So yeah, I think that's our show. You guys got anything else? You got some news for us, Spencer?
Yeah, well, there's some news. We got some
news.
Got
all some right. News. Give us the news.
So I'm going to start off with the most exciting news. And that is that MLB The Show is finally coming to Xbox in addition to PlayStation. It's been PlayStation exclusive for 20 years or something. And it is finally coming to Xbox. And I'm going to get to play it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Comes on April 20th.
I think that's fantastic news.
I just want to make a note here. This is not the most exciting news this week.
The most exciting news.
I want to correct Spencer's smelly ass.
With other design space. David doesn't even know what's going on.
He doesn't. He's a robot again. I heard smelly ass and then he just went robot.
Smelly ass robot.
He's gone again.
That's what gets through.
So that's my favorite news of the week.
I think that's big news. This is a huge game. It's probably one of the best baseball games you could possibly play. It's been PlayStation exclusive for way too long. I hope getting on Xbox then drives them to put it on Game Pass or something so we could play it on PC, because this needs to be on more platforms. It is the better of all the baseball games.
Yeah, definitely. So looking forward to that coming in April. What else is going on? Did you guys see that there's a Sonic the Hedgehog animated series coming to Netflix?
Oh, really? I thought I just heard that the voice for Sonic was no longer going to be voicing Sonic.
That is
true. For like the games or anything.
For like, I didn't know about that at all.
I find it interesting that they're moving into another animated series without him as the voice.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. 2022 is where we're looking for this new Netflix show. So that's pretty cool. What else? David turned me on to a game called Evil Genius. Evil Genius 2, the sequel, has finally gotten a release date, or at least an anticipated time frame, and it is March 30th. And it is like an Evil Genius version of Tropico or SimCity or, you know, those kind of strategy city builder games.
So you have a more villain outlook on it then?
Yeah, like you're an evil genius building your secret lair to take over the world. So I'm really excited for that game. That's another one I'm looking forward to. Because, man, I loved Tropico.
Yeah, really cool.
Like city builder type games are my jam.
Neat.
It is neat. Here's one that probably nobody cares about. EA Sports has announced they're going to start making college football games again.
Neat.
Didn't they
get in a lot of trouble with the NCAA for, like, because they're not paying players?
Player likenesses, yeah. And then if you do pay the players, then that's against the NCAA rule for players receiving compensation. And that's a whole other can of worms, because they probably should be receiving compensation. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So they stopped doing it. It's been like 7 years since we've had a NCAA college football game. And now they're coming back. Neat.
Everybody forgot about us not paying these kids, so let's just go back to exploiting them.
Exactly. Game Pass editions for February. I'm just going to read all the names and you guys tell me the ones you're excited for. Because I don't know almost any of these. Ghost of a Tale coming to PC. Don't know what that is. Project Winter coming to console and PC. The Falconeer, console and PC. Here's one. Final Fantasy XII coming to console and PC. Jurassic World Evolution coming to console. Stealth Inc. 2 coming to console. And that's it. There's some games.
Cool. Is that on? What is that? That's Game Pass?
Game Pass, yeah. Game Pass. Games this month. New stuff to Game Pass. And then a few games leaving. Da Blob, Ninja Gaiden 2, World of Horror, and Shadows of the Damned are all leaving Game Pass in middle of February. So if any of those sound like fun, play them now. That's it. That's all the news.
That's it. News is done.
No more news.
No more news till next week. Well, that's our show then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, if you caught the end of this episode, we did not give you financial advice because we are stupid fucking idiots. And yeah, check out Dogecoin. It's cool.
It is cool.
Check out our website while you're at it. It's 3guys1up.com. That's the number 3, number 1. And from there, you will be able to find our smoking new Patreon. If you want to become a patron, just follow that link on our website. It'll take you over there and you can give us some monies to keep our expenses low and keep making shows.
Keep the lights on.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Check out our Facebook. Give us a like over there. And as always, thank you again for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Goodbye.